您现在听到的是精简版的 Roundtable 节目，想收听并下载一小时完整节目，可以打开网站 CRIEZFM.com， 点击 Roundtable。 Podcast 用户可以搜索圆桌会议。A court in Beijing has ordered a private psychological counseling center to apologize and pay compensation to a 30-year-old homosexual man for providing him with treatment it characterized as a cure for his sexual preference. It was the first known lawsuit of its kind in China and has attracted widespread attention in recent months. 近日，中国首例同性恋矫正案宣判，北京市海淀区人民法院判决给原告实施电击治疗的重庆心语飘香心理咨询中心公开道歉，并赔偿经济损失。So basically what happened, and do you think that this is a ruling worth hailing or worth mentioning?
Very much for, you know, the second part of your question, but I would like to say a little bit more about how did this happen in the first place? I tend to say this a lot recently, that this is 21st century China, and in the cities, and I can't believe this is still happening. So basically, this gay man, Xiao, that's probably his surname, he went in for treatment in February after he found this counseling center online. This place is based in Chongqing, and then he saw these promotions in the promotion category of Baidu, the search engine. That's where he found the information. So that's also why he is also holding Baidu, the search engine, liable in this situation. So, and then he went into the counseling center, and the advice and treatment he gets is electric shock.To alter someone's sexual orientation, that is what happened. And, well, I think here what's also quite interesting is that Xiao himself actually didn't go into the treatment with any hope that this is going to change anything, but he wanted his parents to feel better, feel reassured that he's made the effort to change his sexual orientation.
Yeah, and he also wanted to show his parents that it doesn't work. Mm. And I think that there really isn't any scientific evidence to show that behavioral therapy, which is what this is, it's based upon a school of psychology called behaviorism, that behavioral therapy can somehow, you know, change your sexual preference, change which sex you are attracted to, whether you're heterosexual, homosexual, or...you know, whatever else there might be. And so behaviorism is basically the idea that if you want to change someone's behavior, you need to either, you know, positively reinforce them for engaging in the desired behavior, or you can give them a negative reinforcement or perhaps even a punishment for engaging in the undesired behavior. And that's what these types of programs are based upon. And the programs that we see in China are not new. If we go back to the 50s and 60s, even in the United States, these, while not necessarily popular or, you know, common, these types of clinics, supposed medical clinics, did offer very, very similar treatments. And electroshock therapy, you know, it is used still to treat other types of mental disorders on a regular basis, even at certified mental clinics. But again, the idea that somehow behavioral therapy of hypnosis, of a negative reinforcement of undesired behaviors, that this can somehow fundamentally change, you know, physical attraction, there's no scientific evidence for that at all. Looking at the specific case, I think that there are some questions that I have about who this person is and why he did it, and also the validity of the ruling itself. I mean, looking purely from a legal basis, I do question the legal basis for him asking for compensation in the first place. Number one, you know, he knew what he was getting into. He said, you know, he's told reporters, he told the court that, you know, he was doing this to show his parents that homosexual therapy or whatever, conversion therapy or whatever you want to call it, that it doesn't actually work, which is true. It doesn't really work. But then, you know, he comes out of it saying that he was traumatized, that, you know, he suffered, you know, emotional harm. But at the same time, I mean, he knew what he was getting into, and he even recorded the sessions. And so in light of those facts, I'm just kind of, you know, suspicious of how valid this is, or I guess whether it really does hurt or help the cause of the LGBT community, because his motivations for doing this, and again, his knowledge of the procedures before even engaging in this, you know, raises a lot of questions in my mind.
I don't think it raises any question in my mind, because first of all, this is proved to be false advertising, and also electric shocks being performed
But he knew it was false advertising before he went in. He went in with bad faith, not with good faith, of expecting to be provided a service, right? So I mean, I would not be raising these questions if someone brought a case to the court because they honestly believed, again, in good faith, that they were going to get some type of help, and instead they come out traumatized. He knew what he was getting into. And so from a cultural perspective, it's a very different argument. I'm just talking about legally at this point. I just don't see the case in and of it, the validity of the case. And I don't think it's because of that, I don't think it's necessarily as helpful for the LGBT community here in China.
I see what you're saying, but I don't think whether you go in a treatment with bad faith or good faith is what matters at all here, because it is the hospital, or this is not a hospital, this is a counseling center claiming to provide a certain kind of treatment, but actually doesn't really deliver the results at all. And when we're talking about medical institutions doing this kind of thing, then it's certainly not right. And I think every patient have...
That's not what the case was about.
But the verdict did say that this is false treatment or something along those lines.
Yeah, it was false advertising. I mean, so the court eventually, as we know, the court eventually did rule for Xiao Zhen, the plaintiff, saying that the clinic the clinic's claim that it could treat homosexuality was false advertising because homosexuality is no longer classified as a mental disorder here in China. But they're ruling only on the false advertising. They're not ruling on, you know, the legality of electroshock therapy for gay people who want to be converted. All they're doing is talking about advertising. And so again, that's why I'm not so sure how helpful the case actually is.
But in that sense, the court did state that the homosexuality was not a mental disorder.
But that's a scientific fact. According to China's psychologists, according to international psychologists.
Right, but if sexuality is not a mental disorder, then any effort to tend to treat it seem to be, you know, in the wrong.
And this is actually one part that I sort of agree with John. When I looked at the verdict, the part that I'm most concerned about is this sort of service should be closed down, banned when you're trying to use electric shock to alter someone's sexual orientation. That should be stopped altogether, but that's not mentioned at all. And I think that's probably what's most relevant and probably helpful for the LGBT community in the long run.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because I mean, you know, LGBT activists here in China, I mean, they're saying, I mean, really a lot of the comments have nothing to do with the legality of the clinics or anything like that. Rather, what they seem to be emphasizing is that younger homosexual men and women can kind of get some support and point to this case, when talking with their family, when talking with their parents about their sexual orientation, and especially if they are, you know, trying to consider whether or not to come out of the closet. But again, and so I think that's kind of what we need to, you know, make clear here, is that this says nothing about the legality of these clinics. This says nothing about the morality or the ethics of these clinics in and of themselves. All it's saying is that, you know, if you want to provide this service, well, you can't say it's a cure.
Yeah, I think that's true, and that sort of limits the importance of this verdict. But also, I would think that, you know, thinking about China's current situation, we're looking at a country that has just taken homosexuality out of the mental disorder.
2001, so it's been 13 years.
It has been a long time. But I'm just saying that in this day and age, at this moment of social development, it's still very hard for you to ask the official system, you know, whether it's the government or the legal system, to actively do something and protect the LGBT community's interests. Although there have been some some specific regulations to protect AIDS patients' interests and HIV patients' interests, I don't think we see any specific statement protecting LGBT's interests.
But even then, I mean, as we've seen, you know, from last week's case of Quinquin, the 8-year-old boy who was you know, almost forced out of his village because he tested positive for HIV. Mm. That even then, I mean, there's a huge problem, and there's a huge slog against HIV/AIDS. I think the reason that people can talk about AIDS and other sexually transmitted diseases now is because there still is, you know, a way to separate it kind of out of sexuality. So AIDS is AIDS, HIV/AIDS, we need to help those people, but what we don't talk about is how it's necessarily transmitted, especially outside of a medical context.
Mm. I think there has been more discussion about the current situation of AIDS and HIV, how the people carrying those viruses or their situation or the ways of transmitting it. But I think when it comes to homosexuality, there has been a lot more discussion online in the private sphere. And also I see a much greater acceptance of such a situation,
right,
of people. But when it comes to the public sphere, I think there still lacks discussion. And I think that's also why this case sets sort of an important precedent, not really in a legal sense, but as an example, and for people to talk about it, and also to just really be able to look at these situations that do exist around you and me in so many places in China. And I think that is probably the first step of the importance that's established here.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think that is significant and should not be minimized. I mean, it is more important. It is more important to have, you know, a public debate in some sense, because really what we're looking at here is kind of a cultural stubbornness, you might say, when it comes to HIV, to homosexuality. And it's always really interesting for me, you know, because in the United States and some other Western countries, the debate about homosexuality, you know, ends up being about, you know, most of the time somehow based in religion. Whereas here in China, it is a bit different. You know, it has mostly to do with, well, if you're a homosexual, that means you're not going to be, you know, making babies. You're not going to be getting married and being a father or being a mother and you know, passing on, making a new generation of the bloodline and things like that. And so I think that in that sense, you know, it's almost an easier time, I think, for gays and lesbians in China, because it's not something that necessarily causes like a very intense ideological reaction from people. But on the other hand, because of that tradition of the family and things like that, and the unwillingness of most people to accept homosexuality or to talk about it, is that, you know, we see a lot of gay men and women who end up in, you know, heterosexual relationships. And I think it's really, you know, it's a sad thing to see that number one, people are not allowed to live the life that they want to live, but also how that affects other people, you know. So, you know, a woman marries a gay man not knowing that he's gay. I mean, that can't be, you know, a happy relationship.
Yeah, I think that's a really worthy discussion. You know, what we need to do now is first make it comfortable for people to discuss it and then talk about more rights and more protection to them, I think.
And also, I think it's very important for the family to welcome a family member who've decided that this is what he or she wants. Mm. And I think the family is really sort of the safety area for this kind of thing. When you feel comfortable coming out to your parents, to your family, I think that is also considered as sort of the most vital thing for a lot of the gay people. And here, I just have to say, for the father and mother of Xiao, please, you know, just open your eyes and look at your son. And I'm sorry. I tend to feel very emotional when it comes to this kind of situation, when your family can't even take that in. And I think for the parents, please, you just have to look at the situation and accept it.